another portion of Scripture one more time just to refocus our thoughts and our attention as we come to looking at some of the Word of the Lord. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. Running with perseverance. You know, when I think about perseverance, I think about being exhausted but taking the next step anyways. You know, have you ever had something in life where you felt like you had to persevere through it? Where it wasn't all joy, it wasn't all awesomeness. The next step might have been painful, but you took it anyways. You persevered because you knew you were called to do something, or you knew the only way to keep going was to keep going forward. And that was the best you could do, to persevere. You know, this scripture passage from Hebrews is meant to encourage us. Okay, it was originally written to Jewish people who would have understood the list of all of the people that are listed off in this. And I know Mike preached on faith last week. I haven't heard his sermon yet, but maybe I will. But there's this great list of all these people who were faithful to God and had faith in him in the face of uncertainty, in the face of danger, in the face of death. And the list continues here. And so for all those that were listening, they would be recalling in their minds the accounts of all of these people that they knew from their history lessons did amazing things for and with and through God. And so the accounts point to all the faithfulness of God and the faith of people throughout the years. And the story doesn't stop with Paul's writing, or the author of Hebrews, most likely Paul, writing of Hebrews. It continues on. And if you continue in church history, right up through and including the present time, there's all kinds of stories of people that are continuing in that lineage of having faith and persevering despite all odds being against them. In churches that observe a liturgical calendar, Methodist Church is one of those, so are the Anglicans. We don't often pay attention to the sort of nondescript days in between things, but you know, obviously there's the high points like Christmas and Easter and those things that we see every year, but there's also various people that the church pays attention to throughout the church year and says, wow, look at this person. This is how they live their life in the face of serious challenge and uncertainty. And on August 10th, we talked about somebody named St. Lawrence. Okay? And St. Lawrence was not the Seaway. I know that probably went in everybody's mind, right? You know? Or the university. But St. Lawrence was a deacon in Rome, somebody who was in charge of caring for the widows and the orphans and the unlovely and all those people that were in great need. And the environment in Rome became pretty hostile to Christians under Emperor Valerian. And so it basically became not okay to be a Christian in Rome. There was a lot of persecution and whatnot. And this emperor told St. Lawrence that he needed to turn over all the riches of the church to him by such and such a date, or face death. And so St. Lawrence decided, okay, all right, I've got a little bit of time. And so he distributed everything that the church had. He gave it to the poor. He spread it out amongst all those that were in need, because he could see the writing on the wall of what was happening and what was going to happen. And so he gave away all of any wealth that the church might have had, all of the material possessions that the church might have had. And then so on the day when he was supposed to present all the wealth of the church to the emperor, he presented himself to the prefect, and then he opened up the doors to where the treasure was supposed to be. And in that room, he had brought in the poor and the crippled and the blind and the suffering. And he said to the emperor, "These are the true treasures of the church." And on that same day, he was martyred. The emperor was not going to put up with that. But there are stories, and there's stories after story after story after story of faithful people who, despite death, despite suffering, have remained faithful to the Lord. And so we read in Hebrews about all those who by faith overcame their love, continues on today. And as a follower of Jesus Christ, and as a part of his church, that is your heritage. That is your lineage. You might not be related by blood to any of these people, but you are related by spirit to these people. We are related by having the same Heavenly Father. We're in the same family. And that is your lineage and your history. So we're in a current period of challenge in this nation, right? And really all over the world. And despite being in that period of challenge, in some parts of the world, the church is exploding in growth. You know, look at Africa. Look at China. China is just exploding in growth in the church. And we're praying that it comes to the United States. You know, perhaps there will be a day when we'll have to have four services at Brownsville Community Church to get everybody through, right? You never know what God might do. Stranger things have happened. Think big, right? Why not? What does it hurt? So the scriptures today call us to repentance. They call us to take a good look at our lives and to say, okay, we need to get serious as people following Christ. We need to get serious as the church. We need to look at our lives. God is pruning his vineyard is the message in Isaiah and the message in the Psalm that those things that are not of the Lord are being pruned out of us. And the things that are of the Lord are being replaced that we might be the body of Christ in the most pure and truest form that we possibly can be through him in this world. So I'm going to tell you something that you already know. Alright, this is the easy part. So, as a church, you are not a club of like-minded people here to do good. Doing good is part of what you're called to do, but that is not where it stops. You're not a civic assistance organization. There are lots of those. That is part of what we do, but it's not where it stops. You are the unique and beautiful body of Jesus Christ on the earth. Think about that for a second. Well, from all of your different homes that you come from all of your different life experiences and walks of life, from all of your different socioeconomic statuses, all of your different political leanings, you are the body of Christ on earth. You may well be the only reflection of Jesus Christ that your friends and neighbors ever see. No pressure. You live in this world, but you are not of this world anymore. Your citizenship is in heaven. You're just passing through this place. And this reality has the potential to change everything from your choices and your priorities to the way you spend your resources and your remaining time. Something else that's important to know is that you're no longer subject to sin and death. You have been made fully alive through Christ in amazing and powerful ways. Some of these ways you've discovered, some of these ways you have not discovered yet. Think of it. That struggle in your life that you just can't get rid of it, that you've lived with for years, it's something that you deal with, and you know you shouldn't do this or think this way or be involved in this kind of thing, but you just keep coming back to it. You don't have to. It can be completely eliminated and pulled out by the power of Christ in your life. As the church, you're not called to live a good life, but to live a holy life. There's a difference there. If you live a holy life, you will live a good life. But you're called to live a holy life. It's a life that seeks the righteousness of Jesus in the way that you live and work and worship. Not necessarily the behavior that the current culture has deemed as good, but you are called to holiness. So we're not just living this life until we die, right? We're here to bring glory to God. We're here to make disciples of all nations. Remember Acts 1:8. That scripture says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Now, if you look at that on a map, that's, "You will be my witnesses in Brownsville, in West Windsor, in Windsor County, in Vermont, in the United States, and all around the world." Okay, that's what that geographical progression looks like. And so, it sounds like a challenging mission. You know, what are we who are, in the grand scheme of things, relatively weak in some ways, going to do about this mission that God has called us to? You know, by the Holy Spirit, you've been given every single gift that you need and every single tool that you need to fulfill this mission. You know, as I've been renovating my house, I use tools all the time. I have like 5 tape measures. You think I can find one sometimes? Right? I wander around the house. Is it in this room? Is it in this room? No. Guess I better buy another one. Okay. But you have every single tool, every single gift. Some of those gifts you have discovered and are developing and you're learning about and training up in them. Some of those gifts you haven't even unwrapped. You should see my 2-year-old when he sees a gift left for him and it's left unwrapped. He panics, okay? You have gifts that you may not have even unwrapped yet. They're somewhere. We need to pray and ask the Lord to reveal what those gifts are to us that we might unwrap them and begin to learn how to use them. You're called as a church to hold the standard, to carry the colors for Christ. You're called to be the light holding forth in the darkness. You're called to lead those to shelter in the storm who are tossed by it. You're called to preach the word, not just me. You are too called to preach the word, to speak the truth of the gospel. Maybe it's in the way that you live. Maybe it's in the way that you act. Maybe it's in the way that you say things. You're called to heal the sick, to drive out demons. You're called to visit the sick and those in prison, to work for justice for the oppressed, to bring about the peace of Christ where there is strife and conflict. You're called to feed the hungry, to care for the widow and the orphan, just as St. Lawrence was doing as an archdeacon in Rome. You're called to live out each moment of your life as an act of worship of the one who loved you and went to the cross that he might have a relationship with you. So you as the church have this lineage. And you are the chosen generation of people who are here living life, going to work, loving your families, but who even beyond these things have a calling from an almighty and ever-loving God to be the picture, to be the icon of Jesus Christ to the world around you. So as this church, you've been blessed with everything you need to do it. I know you look around and you see, well, there's some empty pews. That's good. That's room for people to come and to grow. You know, in church growth studies, they show that a church needs to be 20% empty for new people to feel welcome when they come. Because otherwise, they feel like there's no place for them. So, we've got at least 20% here. Let's see if we can decrease that a little bit, get closer to the 20. The Westminster Short Catechism, anybody know what that says already? Says that the chief end of man is to worship God and to enjoy him forever. But as you know, worship isn't just coming on Sundays. To really worship God is obedience. Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commands." If you love me, obey me. To obey Jesus is joy. It's really not a burden. We often have the word obey in kind of a negative connotation. You know, if I say to my son, obey,
he has a certain thing in his mind. But with Christ, it's, dang, I love you. I have come to give you life, and abundant life at that, if you will follow my commands. Obeying Christ for not joy, why would so many in your family history in the church have suffered so willingly for something if it wasn't true? And if it wasn't something that they knew more holy than what they know in this world around us? Nobody would suffer for a lie. Nobody would ever do that. Look at history. Your path of obedience may not involve the kind of suffering that we see sometimes in history or modern. But you look around in the United States and in New England, and when we ask the question, is the church dying? I don't think the church is dying. I think God's pruning his vineyard. That's what we see happening in the scriptures today. God is pruning his vineyard. Allow God to prune your heart, to remove the things that keep you further from Christ, and allow him to bring you in closer with him. You see, Bishop Leslie Newbegin says that the church isn't dying. He says the church has outlived great empires, philosophical systems, totalitarian regimes, things that seem to occupy the whole horizon of public thinking right now will just be phantoms 20 years from now, barely remembered. But the church will still be there. This given reality, he says, needs to be at the center of our thinking as Christians. So look at the world around us. It's a terrified world. People are freaking out, okay? Watch the news if you haven't already. People are afraid everywhere, and they're responding out of fear. And a terrified world needs a fearless church. And that is who you are called to be. So take heart. This is a word of encouragement to you. You have a high calling. Rise to this call. In humility, allow Christ's strength to be made perfect in your weakness. Where you feel inadequate, allow him to lift you up. By the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, there is nothing to which you are called that you will not be able to accomplish. So raise your sights from surviving as a church to thriving as the church, the living organism of Christ, his icon in the world, to love and to serve and to work and to worship to the end that God is glorified and that disciples are made. Let me close with what I opened with. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. In the name of Christ. Amen.